Cat Mayo Hour.
Welcome to the Pat Mayo Hour, Week 3 Spread Picks, Game Previews, Super Lock, Suicide Picks. We're all still alive in the Survivor Pool for past Week 2 for the first time in 5 years, so that's exciting news, and we'll see what's going on. Gary and Thorne here to break it all down with me, game by game.
Yep.
Happy?
No.
No?
Fearful?
No, fearful. Come on now.
I had a bad week.
You did have a bad week. But as we've seen throughout the rotation, that it keeps kind of going back and forth. Oh. You're due for a good week.
Oh.
And you know who believes in things being due?
I do.
His name. Timandagust.
Timandagust.
That is not my name.
You're right. Dr. Timandagust. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm looking forward to this week of picks. I got a good feeling about them.
Well, let's recap last week. Pat Mayo coming through after a 7-9 week one, 12-4 ATS, unfortunately. One of those losses was my super lock. We all got our super lock wrong last week. Gary was 5-11. Tim was 6-10. That puts me in the lead for the year. Tim and I both batting above 500 in the spread pick, so that's good news.
That's right.
I expect
Tim, with us, you're still making money.
Well, I think you have to win like 53% in order to win money because they take vig on both sides.
So what?
So you have 50% is losing money.
Meh.
I'm at 53.125%, so you're making money.
Yeah, you're breaking even.
There you go.
So congratulations. So far, you have free entertainment so far this season.
Exactly.
If you were betting every game, which I know you're not.
No, I'm not.
Only the free money games.
Yeah, only the free money games, which I think... Rams were free money last
Rams
week.
Rams were free money last week.
So, I guess since you got your super lock wrong and we made a wager...
We did.
That you thought that Green Bay would just go and stomp the Vikings. Didn't happen that way.
Nope.
The Vikings ended up covering that game, which means...
a sad game.
Gary, you're such a wiener.
I am a real wiener. Would you like me to eat with my mouth open, Tim, so you can hear the disgust?
So here we go. We got a can of Vienna sausages. Last week, Gary lost the bet and had to wear a Trump hat on the show. And then he lost the bet this week, and now he has to eat these two Vienna sausages because the...
I'll eat three, considering they lost by three.
Three, and you got to drink some wiener juice.
I do have to drink
some wiener juice. The wiener juice is the best part. Here we go, Tim.
Ah, wait. How do we? I got no nails.
I'm gonna put myself on mute so I don't laugh throughout this.
There you go.
Oh, you gotta love that.
Yeah,
sound.
You gotta love the pop. There we go. You don't need to put yourself on mute. Your gig fit will be good enough. You can just pull it off.
Yeah.
Here, you don't need to squeeze it like that. There you go.
Oh, they're that nice, lovely color of light pink.
Can you hold one of those up to the camera?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, those are nice and juicy. Look at all the extra juice you got
just
in there.
So much juice. Okay. running down my fingers. That's really nice, actually.
We didn't eat lunch. Is this?
Oh, I did not eat lunch. Oh, it's just running down my hand. It almost tastes like when you put a hot dog in the microwave. Which is a sad thing to do.
I have no experience
sad
with hot
thing to
dogs
do.
In the microwave.
My babysitter used to do that.
That's not shocking.
Not my favorite day. It tastes like that, but then you left it out for another 25 minutes, and it probably needs to be nuked again.
Yeah, you finished that one off.
I dripped on the table.
Oh, you got some wiener juice on your hands?
Yeah, good.
So, okay. Well, you can continue eating these wieners but you need to take a swig of that wiener juice.
Let me finish this up.
No, you wash it down with some wiener juice. There you go. Oh, it's the best part. Swish that wiener juice around.
That is salty. Somebody sent us the nutrition information, and it said there wasn't that much sodium, and I was kind of like, okay. There's a lot more sodium in there than they're letting on.
So how is it?
I mean, it's not terrible.
Have another swig of wiener juice. It looked pretty good. Finish that can off.
It's not my favorite thing in the world. Not gonna lie.
That'll learn you not to make bad super locks.
Yeah. Daddy always said don't bet.
All right. So let's get into the games. Thursday.
Can I just eat these as we go?
Yeah, you just eat them as we go along. So the Thursday nighter, the game right now, again, we're not going to spend a lot of time since most people will watch this after Thursday. You guys both got the Jets last week. I was wrong on the Bills. This game opened at 1.5 in favor of Houston. It's now down to a pick. This game terrifies the shit out of me because I don't know, but at a pick 'em game, I'm going to take Houston.
I think you have to take Houston.
Tim's not.
Well, Tim probably won't.
I'm taking the Patriots.
But I will say, this seems like, in a weird way, it's like Bill Belichick porn. He wants this sort of situation. Like,
yeah, that's such a narrative, though.
No, but I really do think there's something inside him that's just like, I like this. I can now prove that it is me. Like, I think he almost wants Jacoby Brissett to get hurt at some point.
So that, he can play quarterback?
Well, he wouldn't be playing quarterback. No, no.
Jules Edelman would?
Jules Edelman would be playing quarterback, just like he did at Kent State. So I think it's... I think he's okay here.
You really kind of slipped on that Kent State. Do I have to bleep that out?
I was trying to say it funny, but like, because you said Jules Edelman, but then, yeah, it really did sound like another word there.
Yeah.
You might have to bleep that one.
No, well, now that we've explained it, we probably don't have to.
I think it's fine. Kent State.
Yeah,
so,
I'll just pretend you're from, like, Scotland or
something.
Yeah,
it's fine. It's fine. I'm going to take another bite of sausage here.
Okay.
No, I just think, I mean, Houston has the better team, and I think of the defenses they've had to face so far with a lesser offense, I don't even really care if Gronk plays in this game.
It looks like
he says he's going to play. I just think Houston has a really, really good defense. And I think of the units on the field tonight, Houston has by far the best one. So I'll take Houston.
All right, let's get into the games. Denver at Cincinnati. Denver is a 3-point road dog. Cincinnati -3 at home. The over-under is 41. The bets are about 60-40 in favor of Denver. Andy Dalton's banged up. Like, he was dealing with an ankle injury, and it really came through. I locked in Cincinnati last week as my super lock. Didn't really work out for me, but, I mean, there were a couple games where I got super lucky in order for the games to cover the spread. I feel like I got unlucky in this game because Tyler Boyd was down. That was not a fumble.
Yeah, we weren't watching that one with audio on, and I'm curious what the explanation was as to how he was not down.
I think it was they called it a fumble on the field, so there wasn't indisputable evidence to overturn it. Had they have called him down on the field,
yeah.
I would wager that, you know, that it would have had the ball and a chance to come back and cover that number. The under hit in that game, though, so that was nice for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a shocker that a game in Pittsburgh, the Steelers would get a call. I can't imagine.
You're just so bitter, aren't you?
I'm not bitter, but I've watched enough games throughout my life to know exactly, you know, when the referees are going to take over a game. That's a classic spot.
Guess so. I'm kind of torn on this one. I kind of want to take Cincinnati, but Denver's defense just looks so good right now. And if Dalton's hobbled and they can shut down A.J. Green, like, is it just going to be 11 dump-offs to Gio Bernard again? Is that going to be the entire offense?
It is one of those situations where Cincinnati, if you look at the raw numbers, it says their offense hasn't been that bad so far this season. But just watching those games, it never seems like, A, they have the ball, or B, that they're sustaining any sort of drive. Like, their major successes on offense this season have been a massive touchdown to A.J. Green, that if you listen to Tim, he will tell you that it was blown safety assignment, so
not
it doesn't really
me,
matter
was,
anyway.
It's not just me who said that.
Yeah, it was everyone on the Jets message boards, Garion.
Also, that Gio Bernard catch and yak in last week's game. So they really haven't sustained much, and, I mean, Denver's defense just looks so good. And they're doing the same thing they did last year, which is they're also somehow sustaining the offense with just defensive points all the time, which is not something that's necessarily repeatable or sustainable, but I think you have to take Denver in this one. I'm gonna if I'm ever getting points with Denver at this point, I think I'm just gonna take the points.
Tim, who are you liking here?
I like the Bengals, and for a couple of reasons. I mean, the Bengals went up against two, I think, considerably better offenses the last 2 weeks in the Jets and Steelers, and neither of them got to 30 points. Now they got the Broncos on the road, West Coast team, well, West Coast, but Western team coming east.
Mountain team.
A
mountain team traveling one time zone to the central time zone.
I believe Cincinnati is in the Eastern time zone, but I could
it
be
is.
Wrong.
Is it?
No,
it is.
Damn it.
Time zone. Yeah.
So I could be wrong about Cincinnati.
You guys have never been to the lovely city of Cincinnati?
I have not.
You're missing out.
I have
out.
Not made my presence been known in Cincinnati.
Oh, it's great. It's right on the border of Kentucky.
Nevertheless,
so you know it's good.
The Steelers were able to manage 24 points last week. The Jets managed 20. So the Bengals defense is actually really good. Up against the, you know, Trevor Siemian, you know, people can, you know, trumpet him all they want. If I have to pick between the Bengals D, which I still think is pretty darn stout, against Denver, I mean, you say, oh, well, you know, Denver will shut down, or Cincinnati will have their receivers shut down. Well, I'm sorry, was Calvin Benjamin shut down against the Broncos in week one?
I mean,
no.
He had, what, six catches for 60 yards? He got a touchdown. That's not
yeah, well,
that's not going off.
Like, yeah,
if A.J. Green does that in this game, they probably score 10 points.
Please. A.J. Green, given those opportunities, would do even more with it. You know, I think everyone wants to, it seems like everybody wants to bet Denver in this game. I mean, that's where 72% of the money line bets are.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything. People are, generally speaking, in a close game, and you have a good team getting points, are always going to bet the money line. The money line tells you nothing.
The Bengals are my Super Bowl team in the AFC. It is week three. I am not getting off that horse yet. This is the type of game I expect them to win. Going into the year, I am not dissuaded. Eichert might even play in this game, which would be nice, and if he does, I think that all the better. I think the Bengals win this game by 10 points.
By wow. 10 points?
And it's not your Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, that's not a big number.
Yeah, this is what we've gone through every week. Yeah. Tim projects a big winner on one side versus the spread, you don't think a 10 – you're predicting Cincinnati to win by 10 points. Their line is -3, but they're not your super lock.
No, they're not my super lock. I'm not taking
also,
favorites
anymore.
10
points
lock.
Is not
so
that many points? Considering
it's so
that you
to take favorites to super lock.
I guess, but I'm just saying that to consider that you have like concrete rules about like taking road teams with when it's 10 points or more, double digit spreads, and you're saying 10 points is not a lot of points.
It's not a ton of points for a good team like Cincinnati. I mean, how much an NFL game to finish 34-24 isn't a massive win by any means. It's a decent win, but it's not a massive win.
I just don't think offense shows up in this game. Like, I'm intrigued by that under 41. It's kind of iffy for me, but if I think it's going to be an under game, a defensive game, I agree with him. I think the Bengals defense is somewhat underrated so far. And they did play two good offenses, but I think with Dalton banged up, if the Broncos can generate the same sort of pressure, that they're just not going to do much on offense. I don't expect the Broncos to do much either.
They are down to Marcus Ware in this game.
I think it stays within 3 points, so I'm going to take the 3 points. Boom. Oakland at Tennessee. This game... What happened to your Oakland Raiders, Tim? They lost to Atlanta at home. Are they not going to the Super Bowl anymore?
I never said they were going to. I mean, that game turned on that sort of freakish ball that got tipped at the goal line. The Raiders should have picked it, but the Falcons end up grabbing it for a touchdown. And at that point, listen, you're just on the wrong side of things. That's just the way it goes.
There was also an Amari Cooper, like, 70-yard touchdown called back because he ran out of bounds before he got the ball.
Well, see, now, I wish that they'd shown that replay a little more. It looked like, to me, he was forced out more than he went out on his own volition. I thought that was a quick call. I don't know if you can review that, and you probably can't, but I wasn't so sure he just chose to saunter out of bounds all by himself. Sure looked like to me the Falcons' defensive back gave him a shove.
Yeah, I feel like you can't challenge it on special teams plays, so you probably can't challenge it on offense either.
No, so, I mean, it was just one of those games where the Raiders just didn't – I mean, the Raiders' defense also, I mean, I guess I didn't appreciate just how bad that defense is, which is why I'll be taking
team
the
ever,
Titans in this
Tim.
Game. Which is why I'll be taking the Titans in this game.
500 plus yards in their first two games in total offense.
Yeah, not good.
Not good.
They've given up over 800 passing yards through two games.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Good. Yeah.
So the way I look at this, right now this game opened as a pick'em. Oakland is being heavily bet up. Almost 80% of the bets are on Oakland. And Tennessee is now a 2-point favorite at home. Again, this is a West Coast team traveling east after having traveled east in the first week, back home, back east. I like Tennessee in this game, -2. I think they beat the Raiders.
Rounded Tennessee's. I think Tennessee's defense is underrated. I think they're kind of just a league average team across the board, which is boring. But for the purposes of this, where Oakland is such a liability in one aspect of the field, yeah, give me Tennessee.
Yeah, it occurred to me, I mean, the only reason they lost to the Vikings in week 1 was because the Vikings defense scored. Well, I don't expect the Raiders.
Well, Blair Walsh also missed a bunch
sort of
kicks.
Yeah, Blair Walsh missed 3 field goals and an extra point, I think.
Well, whatever. The principal reason they lost had to do with the fact that the Vikings scored on defense.
Yeah, it's true, because 3 field goals and an extra point would be 10 points, and that's not a lot of points. So the principal reason they lost is, in fact, the defensive score, which is 6 points.
I think they scored twice.
I'm actually right about this.
So who are you taking here, Tennessee?
Yes, Titans.
So you're off the Oakland bandwagon, right? We have a
I'm not off the bandwagon, but I actually think maybe Tennessee's better than I gave them credit for.
I don't know if they're really all that good. I think they're better than Oakland. I don't think. I've been very vocal about how I don't think that Oakland is very good.
It's true, you have.
You know, I think the Raiders are still good, but I just think the Titans are the way to play the game.
I was say, if you think that the Raiders are good, you should take the points against Tennessee, who might be one of the worst 5 teams in the league.
No, the smart money is clearly on the Titans, and I want to be with the smart money.
This next game scares the crap out of me.
I am glad.
What?
It's a clear indication of you should take the Bills, and I don't want to.
No, neither. No one does. No one wants to take the Bills. So this game opened at 5.
I do.
Arizona at Buffalo. The over-under is 47. Everyone is pumping money onto the Cardinals, which would make sense at -5. Now the spread's down to -4. So the money's moving towards Buffalo, despite no one betting on them. It's rough, man. Like, did the Cardinals just win this game by 3 points? Like, I've started to reconsider, like, in my cash game lineup this week on DraftKings, I have Carson Palmer and Larry Fitzgerald as my quarterback and top receiver. And I'm starting to rethink that now, too.
I mean, there used to be kind of a lore around Ralph Wilson. What's it called now? Something different. It's
New
not the Ralph
Era
anymore.
Stadium.
New Era
New
Stadium?
New Era Stadium, right.
Yeah, it's no Hard Rock Stadium.
It is, that's cool.
We'll get to
the
that.
Kids like that.
It's cool. You like it.
I'm still going to take Arizona. I just think they are a much better team. Because if you start breaking this down by the way the line is moving, it's clearly you should be picking Buffalo in this game. I just can't bring myself to do it. I think that is such a flawed team. So I think the Cardinals got it together last week. They showed up very well against Tampa Bay.
Sammy Watkins is even practicing at this point. He might not play. So you're going to deal with don't make friends with Salas on the outside and Marquise Goodwin.
But how many times have we seen in the last couple of years? Generally,
deep bombs last week.
They did.
Yeah, but unfortunately, Revis isn't on the Cardinals, so they can't just take advantage of him.
Yeah, all right, whatever.
But like Green Bay went to Buffalo, I think it was 2 years ago, had to play in the snow and scored like 6 points. Seattle went to Buffalo a couple of years ago and didn't score any points. Like, we've seen this happen before, but I think the fact that this game is in September makes me lean Arizona.
So, Tim, you really like the Bills here?
I really like the Bills here. I certainly think it's going to be a close game, but I think the Bills have got a really good chance to win, actually.
Okay, outside of the betting line being all kind of weird and moving towards the Bills, what is it that you like about the Bills that you think they can beat the Cardinals? Like, where on the field are they better than the Cardinals?
Well, I mean, this is the way I look at the game. This is one
so
of those
nowhere.
Absolute 100% must-win games for Buffalo. You know, their season is on the line. Their coach is on the line.
That season on the line. And they're probably going to have the first pick. They probably want to lose.
Rex Ryan does not want to lose. They just fired their offensive coordinator. I think that will have a positive effect. They've had 10 days off, and they're at home to prepare for this game. The Cards are making a long road trip. People are all back on the Cardinals. Oh, they look so great against Tampa. You know, it was just a one-game aberration against the Patriots. Not so sure. Carson Palmer is just certainly capable of just having blow-up games. And say what you will about, I mean, the Bills are schizophrenic, I guess. I mean, they played very, very good defense against the Ravens, and then they played very poorly against the Jets. I think the Bills are set. This is a perfect trap game for the Cardinals to step right into it. And, you know, Tyrod Taylor looked really good last week.
Tyrod Taylor can't throw over the middle of the field because he can't see over the offensive line.
I don't care.
Well, that takes a lot out of your game plan when you can't use 66% of the field.
Well, it didn't seem to have any negative effect on them last week. I almost locked Buffalo in. I was so confident about
it. You should lock Buffalo in.
I'm locking someone else in. But I really, really like Buffalo in the game. The Bills need the game. The Cardinals don't need it as much. So when it comes down to that, I'll always take the team that needs it more. So give me the Bills.
I think that losing to the Patriots in week one, had they have beaten the Patriots week one and been 2-0 coming into this game, I think I'd be more on. And I do think it is kind of a trap, but I'm going to go say, you know, screw it. I'll side with the public on this one. I like Arizona here just almost because of that fact. They don't want to be 1-2 in that division, like, because Seattle's probably going to win and go to 2-1, and I know people are down on
Seattle.
Yeah, but
it's not a conference game. It doesn't count. The loss doesn't
Why even show up then, Tim? Why even try to win the game?
Wins don't mean anything, do they? Well, all wins are not created equally, of course.
You should probably try to get them. That helps.
Yeah, I'm sure they want to get them, and they will not.
Oh, so why don't you bet? Okay, so you think, again, Cincinnati's going to win by 10. They're favored by 3 points, not your super lock. Buffalo is going to win this game. They're 4-point underdogs, not your super lock. I'm very curious to hear who your super lock is.
All right, well, I guess time will tell.
So
this is what they call a tease in the business.
Cards for you and I.
Yes.
Bills for Tim.
I'm on the opposite side of you guys the first three games. I'm liking this.
We all pick Tennessee.
Oh, boo.
Baltimore at Jacksonville. This game is now at Jacksonville is actually getting a point at home. It opened at a pick'em. It's 50-50 in terms of the betting splits, and there's actually quite a few bets on this game, surprisingly enough. The over-under is 47. So the Ravens have beat the Bills, who just don't look very good at all.
And they tried their hardest to lose to the Browns.
But they couldn't. They didn't.
Couldn't, yeah.
They couldn't do
a good
it.
Word.
But they went on the road and beat Cleveland.
Yeah, sure.
After being down, 22-0 after like 10 minutes, and they ended up coming back and winning. Jacksonville, Tim's boyfriend, goes into San Diego and gets shellacked. I'm kind of torn on this game because I do prefer Jacksonville at home. They tend to play a lot better there, but I can't figure out if the Ravens are actually good or not.
I feel pretty strongly about Jacksonville in this game, and I know they've looked bad, but I'll equate last week's loss more to, I think San Diego is better than people give them credit for. Even if you go back to last season, like, San Diego was very good at things winning teams are generally good at, like ball control, yards per possession.
And as Jeff pointed out, they lost like six games by a score.
Yeah.
Like, so, they just lost a lot of close games.
So I think there was sort of, people had gone too far on how bad San Diego was, and that reaction is still carrying over into this season. And Jacksonville just didn't show up. Like, there's no other way around it. But Chris Ivory should play in this game. I think that helps them a little bit because TJ Yeldon, I mean, I've supported this guy as a fantasy asset the first 2 weeks because you have to support that much opportunity. But, like, he has played terribly for the amount of touches he has received. So I think anything to bolster that run game is probably a positive at this point. And like you said, I think Baltimore, it's still tough to say what exactly they are considering they've played two pretty bad teams.
So, Tim, this is going to be tough for you because on one side you have the Jaguars, who you love. On the other side, you have who I'm guessing is your favorite player in football, Mike Wallace.
Listen, there's probably no one outside of Mike Wallace's immediate family who's more excited to see Mike Wallace be a legitimate fantasy and NFL receiver once again. He and Joe Flacco seem like they're a match made in heaven. Flacco throws bombs, Wallace catches bombs.
It's just two elite players.
We should have seen that combination coming, and I feel as guilty as anybody else that I wish I had, and I should have, but I didn't. I'll play the Jaguars in the game. Listen, Yank Gary's point's made well, that we haven't seen Baltimore play a very good team yet. They're still incredibly hot in Jacksonville. A lot of pressure on the Jags. You know, going down 0-3 would probably kill the season. It's hard to, very, very hard to start 0-3 and make the playoffs. So in a game where I think Jacksonville needs it a little bit more, and I think Jacksonville I still think they're a little bit better than the Ravens. I think the Jags get it done, but I'm not super confident about it.
Yeah, I'm actually going to pile on and make it around to Jags as well. I tend to prefer Baltimore at home, but it could just be that Jacksonville is terrible.
It could.
Well, we're going to find out.
I think if I'm not going to bet this game because I don't feel super strongly either way, but I do like the over of 47. Like, and I think Flacco is like a DFS quarterback could be really good here.
And I think just in general, if no one feels strongly about this game, again, it's just a home dog.
Yeah.
Like, in a general sense, it's kind of the way you want to lean. Yeah.
Yep.
Cleveland at Miami. So here we go, Garion.
Yep. I've had a fun week of people asking me whether or not the Dolphins are a survivor play, which is a surreal experience for a Dolphins fan.
So
they're my survivor play.
Oh.
They're my suicide pick of the week.
So Tim is locking them in suicide?
No, I'm not locked. Yeah, for my super. Not
yeah, yeah
my
for your
super
suicide.
Yeah, suicide.
They are my suicide pick. Yes.
All right. What is that? Tapping. Where's that coming from?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's someone trying to stop Tim from making the Dolphins a suicide lock.
So we have 42.5. It's now down to 42 is the over-under. Minus 10 for the Dolphins. Cody Kessler starting at quarterback.
Yeah.
Corey Coleman broke his hand in practice. The offensive line has not looked very good to begin with, so the Dolphins front four should have a pretty easy time getting to Sir Cody Kessler.
Yeah.
I'm not really impressed with the Dolphins at all. Like, a sweet second half. Why don't you try not to get down by 30 points first?
Yeah, any sort of mirages about their defense in week one can mostly be attributed to Russell Wilson not being able to walk, I think.
Yeah, it kind of looks that way at this point.
Yeah.
I guess the game plan for...
Although they're real good at injuring quarterbacks, so the Browns better sign someone.
Who is the... I think they signed Charlie Whitehurst.
Oh, I think he'd be a better option.
Really?
Touchdown Jesus for the backdoor cover.
Like, the only way that I can see Cleveland sticking in this game, they get some sort of fluky defensive score, return touchdown, or maybe Isaiah Crowell just goes off and runs all over the Dolphins, like Blunt kind of did last week. But I just, outside of that one super big run against Baltimore, he didn't really do anything.
No. Look, the Dolphins are probably a pretty good survivor play this week. I think if McCowan was playing in this game,
I'd probably like the Browns. Hey, the Browns won me money last week.
Exactly, but the book on Cody Kessler apparently is that this is a guy the Browns did not want to have to use in a game for maybe 2 years. Although I feel like he was there, like, if we're 1-12 in week 14 and we really want that number one pick, like, oh, Kessler's got to get some run, guys. Like, let's send him out there.
They're 100% in on the DeShone Kizer train. They're doing everything they can to get him.
Do you think DeShone Kizer is the first pick?
Not just me. That seems to be, like, right now the consensus call from a lot of experts is that he's likely to be the first QB, so he'll likely be the first player. And he's a lovely quarterback, so I think he'd be a great pick.
I feel like you were back and forth on DeShone Kizer.
No, I'm a big fan of Kizer. And so I think the Browns have
hated
no
Everett Golson, though.
Yeah, well, he's a traitor, and he left and went to another team. So it just shows you how dedicated he was to the Golden Domer. So, you know, how's he doing? Oh, yeah, nothing. Yeah, good job. I think the Dolphins are just better in every sense. The Dolphins, I think last week's first half was just an aberration. I think the Dolphins, I mean, you say, well, Russell Wilson got hurt, and that's why. Well, Russell Wilson didn't get hurt till the second half. You know, the Dolphins still laid the lumber on the Seahawks defensively in the first half, so I don't buy that. And the defense looked good again in the second half against the Patriots. They had one bad stretch. That can happen. It's tough to play in Foxborough. I don't know. This game seems to me like the Dolphins are going to win like 16-3, something like that. So I will pick them to cover the spread, even though I hate laying 10 points. You know, opening up, you know, an incredibly renovated stadium. It looks so neat, all the pictures that I've seen of the renovated stadium in Miami.
So neat.
Looks like it does.
It has a cool name. It looks neat, and no one's going
to
go.
They have, like, little living rooms next to the field. Because you really need to relax to watch the Dolphins.
Hey, well, listen, when you only have like 13 people go to your games, you can really make them feel like, you know, they're a real part of the experience and live a life of luxury.
Gloria Estefan's family. I think I'm taking the Dolphins in this game, too. I think it's going to be a little more high scoring than Tim thinks it's going to be. I think this is like a 27-10, 24-10 type game. The Dolphins, they've had similar type script games the last couple seasons. There was, I think it was 2 years ago now, they had to play Oakland in London, and it was the game for Ryan Tannehill's job, and he came out and they won like 41-10. Like, they're capable of winning these types of games. I think they win this, string me along a little bit more, and then get crushed on Thursday night by the Bengals.
Yeah, I don't like the fact that we're all on the same sides of these. But again, I would not bet this game.
No.
At -10, but I'll make it in the picks, and I am going to...
They're not your survivor pick?
I am going to make them my survivor pick, too.
Nice.
I feel like there's something inside me that just can't make the Dolphins my survivor pick. Somebody asked me this week.
I just don't like any of the other games.
I think Dallas is the other play, and I think I just think Dallas is a better team. Nah, I'm going to make the Dolphins my goddamn survivor
That
lock.
Game's got me creeped out.
The Dolphins are my survivor lock.
There?
Yeah.
So you're going with them, too? So round I think we've been on the same team all 3 weeks, except for week one.
Yeah.
Tim almost lost Kansas City. We almost lost Seattle. We all got Carolina last week.
Yeah.
All right, so round of Miami's for the spread, round of Miami's for survivor picks. Washington at the New York Giants. And I need to get your guys' take on this because Washington is a 5-point underdog in this game going to the Giants. The over-under is 45.5. This is on my short list between two games that I want to super lock in. I really like the Redskins in this game.
Really?
Oh, nice. I'm with you.
Yeah. I don't think the Giants are going to beat teams by double-digit points. I think we've seen Washington play two games. And you know,
fair.
I think this game looks a lot like that Dallas game from last week, and I think it's a field goal game.
I think that's fair. I think for it to be a field goal game is fair, but I just think that I think the Giants are so much better than the Redskins. I wouldn't want to super lock in the 5 points,
what
but I'm going
to
take the Giants.
That?
I think the Giants legitimately have
New
a
Orleans
good defense. Look, that's a weird scripted game with a lot of strange turnovers. Like, if you look at the raw stats of that game, like Eli Manning
threw 360 yards.
Like,
and Beckham dropped a touchdown.
There were some weird circumstances that led to all that kind of stuff. I really do think, and again, I talked about this last week, I think the Giants, the offseason acquisitions they made on their defense.
And Eli Apple looks good now.
Yeah. Their defense is a lot better, and they got better at every single part of the defense. The line is better. The linebacking core is better, and the secondary is better. Like, I think they have a top 10 defense in the NFL right now. And again, that's a definitive skill that I don't think Washington has.
I think Washington's just going to be able to score points in this game and keep up if they need to.
I think Kirk Cousins is going to go off, eh?
I don't think Kirk Cousins is going to go off, but I think they can score 20 points, and I think if they score 20 points, they cover.
Fair. No, again, that's a fair way to look
Cousins
at it.
Bounces, I think Cousins bounces back this week and has a pretty nice week.
So you're on.
And it's a divisional. It's a divisional game.
Yeah.
Either team could win this game, but would you give me more than 3.5 points in what I think is a relatively close divisional game, I will take the dog.
I mean, we gave you 3 points on Dallas last week and you didn't want it. Idiot.
No, but that's because I'm an idiot.
Fair enough, then. So I'm not going to lock in Washington. I do really like that, though.
I picked the Skins to win the division, so I mean, I have a little more invested in their success.
Who cares now? We're not. Why double? If you don't think, like, do you actually think the Skins are still going to win this division? No.
I'm not changing my opinion. You have two games.
Yeah, but
this is a huge game.
Yeah, but why would you double down on a bad bet to begin with?
because it's only 2 weeks in, and I'm not willing to give up on it yet. Not like they've had a massive injury.
No, but if you're into week three and you're betting individual games now and you have these future bets still out there,
if they win this
what does it matter?
Week, I will feel
well,
very,
why do you have to protect
week,
money you already have on the board? That doesn't make any sense.
If Washington wins this week, I will feel very good about me picking them to win the division. That'll be a road divisional win for them, and that will set them in a good place.
So you think they win this game?
I think they very well could win this game, but if they lose, it'll be just by a field goal.
I am very curious what your super lock is.
Really? Well, none of us have made a Super Bowl.
I know.
Yet.
I'm just like, because Tim is basically now said, as we've summarized already, that a team will win by 10 points, two road.
I told you I am very confident about this week.
I have a feeling we're all gonna lock in the same game, and we don't know. We don't pre-prepare. We've all made.
No,
our
I have
picks.
No idea where you guys are going.
So, Tim, you and I are on the Skins. Gary and Giants.
Yeah, Giants.
Detroit at Green Bay. This was another game I kind of considered for the Super Lock. Not going to be the one. Opened at 8.5, down to -7 for Green Bay. 47.5 is the over-under.
Too many points.
It's a lot of points, and Green Bay just isn't playing all that well right now. Now, if they come out and win this game 45-0, I'm not going to be super stunned. But no. Stafford's playing all right. They should have won. I mean, I'm glad they didn't win because I had Tennessee in the points, but they had like 3 touchdowns called back. They took like 30 penalties. Yeah. There was a point in that game where it was on pace to go over the like NFL record for penalties in a game.
It was bad.
So I know they're down Amir Abdul. I think Dwayne Washington can step in and be all right. Eric Ebron's probably going to play with the back injury. Outside of Jordy Nelson, like the Packers receivers just aren't open. Remember we saw last year, and I mean everyone kind of put it on Rodgers that, oh, Rodgers isn't playing all that well, and he wasn't playing all that well. But when you looked at the games, like it's not like Davante Adams was creating separation. He's still not. Neither is Randall Cobb. Nelson is the only guy on that offense besides Rodgers who can like do productive things.
Yeah, I mean people have talked a lot about his yards per attempt over the past 18 games now, and it's below 6.
That's not good.
And
that doesn't lead to covering 7-point spreads.
Yeah, and obviously part of this is on him, but I think it's a lot like you're saying. There's not a lot happening right now in that offense. I don't think Mike McCarthy has changed that offense much in about the last 6 years. It might be catching up to him a little bit.
People are savvy to it now?
Possible. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Lions. It's too many. It's too many points.
It's a lot of points. And like Tim mentioned, for a divisional game, getting a touchdown on the road. And Detroit, well, they haven't beaten the Packers a lot. And I know Sue's not there anymore.
Well,
and
the clock ticked to 0 once.
Yeah. And Sue used to be a big problem for the Packers, and their offensive line is improved. And the defense does look pretty good, especially the run defense. Sucks to be them, though, because Detroit doesn't run the ball.
Also, Darius Slay is kind of good.
Yeah? Do you think he can take Nelson out of here?
I think he can limit him enough where, as we talked about, where there is no really other options on this team. Like, that's a hindrance. Yeah. It's a big hindrance.
Division game, 7 points. I'll take the Lions. You're taking the Lions. Yep. Tim weighs in.
I see a Green Bay beatdown coming, and I have a few reasons for that. First, this is weird to say this is week three. This is the most important stretch of Green Bay's schedule. They, for some reason, now play the next 4 consecutive games at Lambeau Field. So they're playing half of their home games in the next four games that they play. So that's interesting. Secondly, Green Bay has, I expect them to make a statement in this game against the Lions. The Lions historically play very poorly at Lambeau Field. Third, I consider that in Lambeau, the Packers get every single call, and the Lions are the stupidest team in the NFL. They will be obliging to give roughing the passer, needless holding calls on 3rd and 21 to give Green Bay first downs. The Packers already kind of get calls at home, and the Lions are so stupid and so poorly coached that they will give the referees every opportunity to give the Packers yards. And think about this. Let's say that it's 10-0. In the first quarter, and you're standing there with a Detroit plus 7 point ticket. How stupid are you going to feel? You might as well just set that ticket on fire at that point.
If there's one thing that I don't worry about, I think the Lions can score points.
I don't. Well, really, they scored how many points against the Titans last week at home?
I just mentioned they had 3 touchdowns called back.
Either way, they didn't score very many points.
Okay, then they're
last
never going to score points. What did they score? 38 in week 1?
Against one of the worst defenses, if not the worst defense in the NFL.
Sure, that's fine, though. Jacksonville was able to put up 20-something on the Packers. I think the Lions can do it. I like the Lions' offense better than I like the Jacksonville offense.
Yeah, well, Packers are going to win the game. This is a beat-down game. I like the Packers win.
I think Sam Shields
did you not super lock this one in either?
No, I did not. I'm not locking in a 7-point favorite at home. No.
But they're going to win by 57 points!
I think they win like 31-13. Like
so they're going
strong feelings.
They're going to win by almost 20 points. Not a super lock.
That's what I'm telling
you. I hate the fact that you're going to jump on mine and
Packers are free money, however.
Oh, well, that's good to know. I love the Lions now. I'm betting the Lions. Free money. Get over yourself. I almost want to bet Lions money line now.
Go ahead. Then why don't you do it?
I might have to now. What is it?
It's
plus 250? Oh, yeah.
Great.
Free money.
Set your money on
free
fire.
Money minus 7 Green Bay. Give your head
that's
a shake, pal.
All right, fine.
Minnesota at Carolina. This is another 1 o'clock game. The Panthers were 7.5-point favorites. They are now down to 7-point favorites at home. 43 is the number. This is my super lock. Minnesota plus 7.
Super lock.
I've been very good with Minnesota as my super lock.
It's true.
So I'm going back to the well. Six straight games. They've held teams to under 17 points. I'm not really buying into this like offense with Bradford being great, but if they can hold Carolina to 20 points, they're going to cover the plus 7.
Yeah. It's too many points. I'm not going to lock it in.
Too many points.
Too many points.
I feel the same way.
Minnesota, yeah.
You're taking Minnesota? Yep. Tim, you're on Minnesota too?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you saw from Carolina last week playing very poorly against the Niners, particularly defensively, to think that they're going to beat a much, much better team in Minnesota.
They didn't.
Who I apparently was wrong about.
They didn't really play all that poor defensively, but they just had like Cam had that weird.
Yes, they did.
Cam had that weird turnover. They had one really bad blown assignment. Ted Ginn fumbled a kickoff on the 1 yard line that led to points. Like Carolina dominated that game.
Yeah.
On both sides of the ball.
They didn't dominate that. They didn't dominate that game.
Yeah, they did.
They were lucky to be up at halftime if the defense hadn't scored a touchdown.
Again, an 18-point victory isn't dominating. That's why you can't lock it in.
They wouldn't have covered the spread last week if it hadn't been for a mistake early from the Niners to give up a defensive touchdown.
But the Niners would have been close if Carolina hadn't made a bunch of mistakes.
Yeah,
you can't say a mistake was the reason
for the game. The Niners scored 17 points in the fourth quarter.
The Niners may be better than I gave them credit.
The Niners are terrible.
Well, we're going to see.
They looked real solid against Prevent D when Carolina was up by 26 in the fourth quarter. Yeah, they had a terrible game, though. Thanks for coming out.
Niners are good. Carolina's incredibly overrated, so I like
you. Just you hate Cam Newton. That's the only reason you think that Carolina's bad.
It's not the only reason. I don't.
No, it is. It is the only reason that you hate them. You know who I think does score in this game? If you can bet it?
Diggs?
Cap?
No, not Cap. Not Diggs. Tim's second favorite player in the NFL besides Mike Wallace.
Oh.
Cordarrelle Patterson.
Oh, I thought you were going to say
that.
Yeah.
He's taking one back. That's the one part of Carolina's game that I really didn't like last week.
You were going to say Kyle Rudolph.
Was their special team. No, I don't like Kyle Rudolph this week.
No, but Tim does.
Yeah, Tim always likes Kyle Rudolph.
And he got in the end zone last week.
Great. Congratulations. Did you play him? Nope. Thanks. Thanks for coming out.
Yes, I did.
No, you
did. Yes, I did.
No, you did.
I picked him up as my Demaryius Thomas insurance.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you play Demaryius instead?
I played Demaryius instead, which I was fine with.
Late game. Actually, let's do the watchability index right now. Which do you think is the most watchable game here?
Cincinnati, Denver.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I think that's in the top three. Detroit, Green Bay is very watchable. Washington, New York is very watchable. Also, you have the added bonus storyline, which we didn't touch on in Washington, New York, of the Josh Norman, Odell Beckham thing.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know.
Well, I didn't even thought of that. That's
people
the,
find
that's
that entertaining.
Well, Tim, you do love Josh Norman.
I am a fan of Josh, and apparently Josh Norman is going to shadow ODB this week. Gee,
except if
he's
in the slot.
2 weeks to wake up and figure things out.
Yeah, if he's in the slot, he's not going to follow him.
Okay, we'll see. He's going to follow him all over the lot.
He specifically said, I'm not going to follow him if he goes in the slot. So I don't know.
I'm sure he did say that. Wouldn't you say that if you were trying to dissuade him? You don't want to give your opponent too much information.
I'd just be gigging and laughing about how much money I have if I was Josh Norman. Money.
So you think that getting a lot of money turns you into Tim?
Yeah, basically. Or Eric.
Washington, New York's pretty interesting. I kind of like Baltimore, Jacksonville. I know there's no intrigue in that
game.
I think that's a fun game to
watch.
That's
probably in the top five. That might be fifth for me. I think Minnesota Carolina is a good game to watch too.
Yeah, I think that's...
it's like the NFC version of Denver Cincinnati.
But
can we agree Miami Cleveland is DFL?
I don't know, man. Oakland Tennessee is pretty terrible.
I don't know. That'll be fun.
Arizona.
But I feel
Baltimore...
like Miami Cleveland goes over Oakland Tennessee because everyone will have to watch the Dolphins for once because that'll be everyone's survivor pick.
All right, so one Minnesota Carolina, two Washington Giants.
Yeah.
I still think Bengals Broncos.
I'd have that as three. All right, yeah. Denver, Cincinnati.
We'll put that three, and then we'll go Baltimore, Jacksonville?
I'd have Detroit, Green Bay above it, but
okay, yeah.
It's kind of a split.
Fair enough. So four
zone,
that.
Zone of Buffalo?
Zone of Buffalo is down on the list here.
That's six.
So we have, yeah, that'll be six. So would you rather watch the Oakland-Tennessee game or the Cleveland-Miami game?
Miami.
Now, you being a Dolphins fan.
I don't enjoy watching Dolphin games. You know that.
Yeah.
How much fun was I having in the office last week?
I can appreciate that.
Pats fan walked in right before kickoff, too.
Ugh. Yeah, it's
not having fun with it.
All right, for my watchability, I'm going to put Oakland-Tennessee. I think that's going to be a fun game with a lot of scoring. And this Miami-Cleveland game could be over in 5 minutes.
Let's hope so.
You have not nearly watched enough Dolphins games.
It could be, though. And of all the games on the slate this week, I feel like if one is over real early, it's that game because Cleveland can't generate a positive yard.
I just remember
I could see it being 21-0 Green Bay in the first quarter and everyone saying, well, that's over.
Not a super
Man,
lot,
he really hates the Lions this week.
Yeah, he hates the Lions in general, though. He doesn't like Matt Stafford.
That's true.
They're a stupid team. I hate stupid teams.
Stupid team.
More with Tim and Gary coming up in a sec, but first, let me tell you a little bit about Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, which proudly supports the Pat Mayo Hour. Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage approval process into the 21st century. Fast, powerful, and completely online. Rocket Mortgage has taken all the complicated, time-consuming parts of applying for a mortgage out of the equation. Hate searching through stacks of old files and paperwork? With Rocket Mortgage, you can easily share your bank statements and pay stubs at the touch of a button, helping you get approved in minutes for a custom mortgage solution that's been tailored to your financial situation. And even better, with Rocket Mortgage, you can do all this on your phone or tablet. It's a quick online process you can manage from the convenience of your couch. So, if you're looking to refinance your mortgage or buy a home, check out Rocket Mortgage today at quickenloans.com/mayo. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states and MLSconsumerAccess.org number 3030. Now, back to the show. San Francisco at Seattle. 80% or 70% of the money right now is on San Francisco +9. This game opened at 10, and they've actually beat it down to 9. The over-under is 40.5. I mentioned on the DraftKings show this week that my favorite contrarian stack that I'm probably going to be playing in the Million Maker is Russell Wilson, Tyler Lockett, and Doug Baldwin. I think they rebound in a big way this week against a team that runs a lot of plays, that does not have a good defense. Tim talks about that if Detroit gets down by 10 points, that they can't come back against the Packers. And Carolina's defense has not been as good as it was last year. Yeah. Seattle's defense has looked fine.
Yeah.
And I just don't see them putting up a lot of points on Seattle. I think that they easily cover this 9.
Yeah, I'm going to say Seattle, but I am going to preface it by saying, I know, Tim, you pointed out earlier that you thought that Miami-Cleveland game had like 16-3 written all over it. I'm seeing 16-3, 17-7, 13-0. Like, I am avoiding Russell Wilson this week. I have a league where it's our office league. It's Wilson, and I have Tannehill. I'd much rather play Tannehill.
I'd rather play Wilson.
It's not even that
Is that a bet you want to make?
Oh, no. What are the stakes?
I don't know. Let's figure that out.
Okay. Well, I'll just say this. It's not so much that I dislike Wilson. It's that right now his offensive line is very worrisome. And if he's not 100%, like, he can't scramble out of these situations. I mean, I know he says his ankle will be fine this week.
He looked okay, like, mobility-wise last week against the Rams. Just the
Fair
Rams
enough.
Have a better defense.
But that line is so bad. I mean, right now Pro Football Focus has a great stat that basically breaks down not a quarterback's completion percentage, but his completion percentage on aimed throws. And they count aimed throws. Right now, no quarterback who's not RG3, who only dropped back like 30 times week one, has a worse percentage of their dropbacks converted into aimed throws than Russell Wilson. He's just not getting any time to do anything constructive. And it's not really his fault.
Now, he did play a defensive line in Miami that looks okay. He played a Rams front seven that looks okay as well.
Sure.
Is there a chance that, yes, Seattle's offensive line is pretty bad, but have they been made to look worse than they actually are?
Very possible.
Because of their two opponents?
But I think right now, I'm in and we can debate this in terms of our bet, but I'm in a situation fantasy-wise right now where I think that guys like Mariota and Tannehill are good enough plays that I would rather play them. And this is a week I'm willing to have like a Russell Wilson 21 points on my bench and be happy enough knowing that, okay, maybe Wilson's fine and I can put him back in my lineup next week.
Tim, tell me why the Niners are going to win this game, because I feel like that's your take here.
Yeah, I know that they're going to win, but it wouldn't stun me either. And in part it's because, listen, Russell Wilson is not healthy. And the Niners seem to say they're the worst defense, the only team in the NFL to have a shutout this year, and against a divisional opponent. So let's not just get too crazy about how terrible they are defensively. Hawks offense has looked impotent, and that's being kind. They scored 3 points against the Rams and a dozen against the Dolphins, and 7 of those points came off of a freakish fourth down conversion that kept the Seahawks in the game.
I mean, freakish fourth down conversion.
It was a long fourth down conversion.
It was a fourth and two.
No, it wasn't.
There was a fourth and inches and a fourth and three.
Well, it's longer than fourth and one, Garion.
Then it must have been like a third and a really long conversion. It was one. They got a really long first down conversion on that. Listen, I don't know what anybody has seen from the Seahawks in the first two games this season, which makes them think they can even score 20 points right now with Russell Wilson the way he is. Whereas the Niners look kind of rejuvenated. I think Chip Kelly has done a pretty good job with that team. That team looked like it's willing to compete. I like the sort of fire that they've been showing the first 2 weeks. They hate the Seahawks with a passion. I think Navarro Bowman could absolutely destroy Russell Wilson if he gets some opportunities on the blitz. I think the Niners are going to cover the number. I think you guys are right. This is like a 10-9. Well, maybe you're not if you're taking Seattle, but I think it's like a 10-9, you know, 14-13 sort of game. And I'm not sure who's going to win it, but I wouldn't mind throwing a couple of bucks on Niners money line. I think that's got a good chance of coming in.
Why wouldn't you just put a bunch of money on under?
Pardon
me? Why lose money on the San Francisco money line and just put all of that money anyway on under?
Honestly, because I'm a terrible total bettor. I'm more confident betting money lines and spreads than totals. That's why.
So which side are you on here?
I'm taking Seattle. Like I said, I think it's like a 16-3 game.
Okay. So we're both on Seattle. Tim, you're on San Francisco?
Mm-hmm.
The Rams at the Bucks. The Bucks coming off a shellacking in Arizona. Now back at home for the first time this season after starting the road on Atlanta. Los Angeles coming off a big win, earning us all a bunch of – I mean, I bet on it, so – Rams plus 7 turned out to be a really good bet last week.
Yep.
Money line would have been even better. But it's minus 6. They're traveling again across the country. It's not a 1 o'clock game, so it's not that big of a deal. But I don't know, man. Tim, I saw you ander curse. Todd Gurley by saying that he's going to be fine.
He is going to be fine. There's no curse.
Well, there's definitely a curse. I think that we all know
the question
a curse.
Was not about whether or not there was a curse.
Yeah, it's about Todd Gurley being good or not. The Bucs actually have a really good run defense, and if they can't get Gurley going, how are they going to score more than 10 points in a game?
And I think that's a fair question. I mean, that's why I'm taking the Buccaneers in the game, is that I think Tampa will be able to stop the few things that Los Angeles can do well. But, you know, Gurley's still a really good running back, and it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, down around the goal line, he finds his way in, or if he breaks one or two big runs, he's certainly capable of such things. But en masse, I think your analysis is absolutely correct that this is not a game that sets up well for the Rams at all. So I think the Buccaneers will play.
Do you think that Jameis is going to struggle against the Rams defense? Because week one, they played Atlanta, who's not very good on defense, and Jameis lit them up. They played a pretty good defense in the Cardinals week two, and he was absolutely brutal.
Yeah, I think it became a situation too. And Tim, I don't know how you feel about this, but like,
Why were they playing him down 30 points in the fourth quarter?
I don't know. But also, that's the thing. It got to it, like, that game was over quickly. And I think it got to a point where Arizona's got a good defense, and Tampa Bay's offense became extremely predictable because they were going to throw the ball. So I think Jameis was put in a rough spot to succeed there. I actually like this game so much, I'm going to super lock Tampa Bay.
Super lock.
Ooh.
Like you said, I don't see how the Rams score 10 points. And I think Tampa can put up 20.
I got a guy. Here's a guy.
Here's a guy.
That might be a DFS sleeper this week if you want to throw him in there. Tim nailed it. Kenny Britt.
Yeah.
Just get those targets and get downfield and hope one hits.
Yeah. You know who had some catches week one? Brian Quick. Remember when Brian Quick was a fantasy
love
sleeper?
Love Brian Quick. He was so quick.
I still think he's good.
So quick. Yeah, but Case Keenum sucks.
He's got great quick. That's the important thing.
So super lock for you. Tim's on Tampa Bay. I kind of want to take the Rams because I can see no Doug Martin. Charles Sims is in.
I like Sims a lot.
I like Sims too.
I think he might be better than Doug Martin.
Maybe, but I don't know how effective. I mean, the one thing we know about Doug Martin is that he can run between the tackles. I don't know if Charles Sims can do that.
He averaged like 4-5 yards a carry last season. Didn't have a small amount of carries.
He didn't,
like 103
carries. But he's generally in on passing down, so it's easier to run on a draw when it's 3rd and 13 than it is trying to get a 3rd and 1.
It's true. Again, though, I would just say, and I was talking to Drew Dinkmeyer about Gurley from a DFS perspective this morning, and he brought up the point that Tampa Bay's defense is pretty capricious. It goes back and forth a lot.
But they're good at
stopping
the run. But
that's because And they're going to stop the run when Gerald McCoy is playing, because Gerald McCoy is one of the best defensive players in the league when he's healthy. And he's healthy right now.
I don't know what to do. Maybe I'll have a wiener and figure it out.
You don't have to.
I'm going to try one of these delicious wieners.
The first bite is jarring. The next couple aren't that bad.
Let's see. Can we get a close-up here?
Oh, the side wiener.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Oh, kind of delicious.
Tastes like home?
Kind of delicious. Yeah, reminds me of home. I'm going to take the Bucks, dude. You sold me. If you're going to super lock them in. Hey, you know what? No. I'm going to reverse that. You're 0-2 with super locks. I'm going to go against you. Okay, I'm going to take the Rams. Oh, boy.
An inspiration wiener.
It is kind of jarring. The first, swallow. Maybe I'll just have some wiener juice. Wash that down. Oh, there's so much wiener juice. Oh! A wiener juice disaster!
Oh, no.
Oh, it's salty.
The wiener juice is everywhere.
You saying it's a wiener juice emergency?
One might. It was your grandfather who said that was the best? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, it's all over the table. Now my arm's going to be
in it. Oh, yeah, it's
God.
Go Rams!
That's probably a pretty good microcosm of the Rams season.
Oh, Pittsburgh at Philly, the Battle of Pennsylvania. Tim, how sold are you on Wensylvania?
I'm not so sold on Wensylvania as I am.
I got to push my IFP back. Can you get me a paper towel, please? Just keep it on the two shot.
I do. In this game, I feel pretty good about taking the Eagles against the spread. I think this is a secondary which will shut down the Steelers passing offense, which can be done. It's in Philly. I think Pittsburgh's looked good the first 2 weeks. No one will deny that. But I just think the Eagles secondary is special.
So much juice.
And are you even listening to me? Or are you worried about the Jews?
I was worried about the Jews. I think you're special though. Who do you think is more special, Philly or you? That went really off the rails very quickly.
Can we supercut that with all the times David Schwimmer said, juice!
Juice!
Let's just say I like the Eagles plus the 3.5.
I want to lean the Eagles too, but just their quality of opponent has been so bad.
That's
they've
fair.
Arguably played the two worst teams in the NFL to start the season.
Well, they haven't played the Bills yet.
Maybe a healthy Bears team is better than the Bills. I don't think this version of the Bears team is better than the Bills.
Maybe. I kind of want to take the plus 3.5 at home. Everyone's kind of betting on the Steelers as well. The line is yet to change. 46.5 is the over-under, but I know it's a no bet for me, but I'm going to be with Tim. I'm going to take the home dog. I'll take the Eagles. Actually, you know what? No. I'm going to take the Steelers. Antonio Brown's going to have 4 touchdowns.
I'm going to take the Steelers, too, just in the sense that, everyone was talking about how many corners Philly was dressing last week, which is the first time Nolan Carroll is their number one corner.
Is Leodis McKelvin playing this week?
I think it's still up in the air.
Is it? That means Antonio Brown's going to be on that seventh round corner guy.
Yeah. I just think Pittsburgh's the better team. Philly's look good. I can't take anything away from Wentz. He's performed to his competition.
Well, Tim, you keep mentioning that if teams get down by 10, you don't think that the Lions can win that game. What if Wentz gets down 10 points?
I'm not concerned. I think the Eagles have the horses to be able to come back.
I don't know. I think that their offense can become very predictable when thrown into passing situations.
I think it's the type of team that matches up against Pittsburgh well. That they don't turn the ball over very often. They have a secondary that can neutralize Brown to an extent.
What?
And they have a running game that I think will be effective with both Matthews and Sproles against the Steelers. I just think the Philadelphia is one of the few teams that sets up well, and they're at home. And you can imagine people in Philadelphia absolutely despise the Steelers, so the place would be rocking, and I like Philly.
Hatred has been a big motivator for Tim this week.
And teams that need it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, neither of these teams need this game, though.
Yeah, Tim, you should actually join the hockey coverage I've been watching of this World Cup of Hockey that's going on. I just saw, the American team did lose, which people were watching in the office. They told me about it. But I was just flipping through SportsCenter. I kind of landed on a talking heads panel. I'll be like, oh, the American team is bad. No passion, no grit.
Oh, I heard they had a lot of grit. I heard their problem was that you couldn't quantify grit into the score because they won in hits.
Oh, okay. Well, I heard before the game they lacked passion, so there was no way they could win. And this is like high level, like Canadian TV. Yeah.
Well, again, that's because unlike Canada, which not only invented hockey, but hockey also invented Canada.
Fun fact.
Hockey
was invented in the Netherlands.
I know. That commercial is the bane of my existence.
It is
true. The second part bothers me as a scholar of Canadian politics, claiming that hockey made Canada just drives me up the wall.
I'm more concerned about it from a writing perspective, because the thing where you take the one noun and switch it with the other noun, that's like been a thing for 35 years now. You're not impressing anybody by like, we didn't just invent hockey. Hockey invented us. It's like, oh, wow, did you come up with that like amazing sentence structure by yourself? Congratulations. You're so smart.
You should give it a soccer class.
Yeah.
All right, next game. You and I are both on the Steelers. Tim's on the Eagles. Jets at Kansas City. Tim's Jets are getting 3 points on the road. Kansas City has not looked good so far. Houston not expected to play?
I would think not.
Again? Is he ever coming back? They need him back.
I think the last I heard was he's looking at like week 8 or 9.
Ugh.
I think right now he's on the pup list, so he can't come back till week six. But
yeah.
Then it was like he's had setbacks since.
The over-under is 42.5. 72% of the bets are on the Jets. Tim, tell us about this game. I'm guessing you like the Jets?
It's an internal struggle.
Lock in gangrene.
Super lock.
Lock him in?
Lock in gangrene.
Oh, wow.
This
makes me liking the Chiefs even more.
This is a recipe for disaster for you. The Jets super lock on the road as an underdog? Oh, I love this.
10 days off against an offense in Kansas City, which has looked terrible, against a defense which has everything to prove in this game. I have thought at least 40 times in the last 2 weeks about how gut-wrenching it is that we threw away that game against the Bengals, because now that Seattle and Arizona don't scare me nearly as much as they did, we could have come out of the chute 5 or 6 and 1 and been off to the races.
Could have gone undefeated,
now,
really.
Yeah. Well, Are you disappointed? 19-0 is out of the question now.
No, I knew that we were going to lose a couple of these games, and the Steelers was one that I figured.
Oh, is that game in Pittsburgh? So you won't get the calls.
It doesn't matter. The Steelers are a better team.
But they're not good enough to beat the Eagles.
No, not in this particular game. That's the way the NFL is, a week by week thing, you know.
Hey, except for when you're betting on Washington because you bet them preseason.
Well, but
your logic is all over the place here.
My logic is sound if you actually listen to what I'm trying to, because it's still game by game, but I think the Redskins, part of the reason I picked them to win the division in some of these early games, I thought they would do quite well in. Listen, the Jets have had 10 days off. The defense has everything to prove. Fitz coming off, AFC Offensive Player of the Week against a defense in Kansas City, sure, but a defense that can be exploited with the right receivers. They've got the best receiving core in the AFC, probably in the NFL.
Do you have a Quincy Enunwa jersey yet? Or Enunwa?
Enunwa looks so good.
Enunwa? Enunwa!
Enunwa.
You know, the receivers are going to play. They're going to make it. Alex Smith has looked terrible through 2 weeks, even though he looked okay in the second half against the Chargers.
I was going
to
say, he had like 400 yards in the first game.
Yeah, but most of that came late against the Chargers, who were so deflated after losing Keenan Allen that, you know, at home these things
they
matter.
Lost the will to win.
No, but, you know, no one could possibly deny that the injury to Keenan Allen in week 1 had a substantive effect on how the rest of that game went. I mean,
oh,
that's
sure.
just a fact.
Yeah, I mean, he was playing corner on both sides of the field and just couldn't stop the Chiefs after he was out of the game.
Basically using my argument from last week against me. Anyway, we're getting off topic here. I don't care who the Jets were playing this week. I probably was going to take him anyway to win, but against the Chiefs, I don't see Alex Smith being able to do anything against this defense. I think Revis will have at least one interception in this game.
I was
going
to say, what if they just throw at Revis every time? Isn't that good for like 700 yards?
He has so much to prove. The whole world's starting to laugh at him. Ha, ha, ha. Revis Island. He comes out. He makes himself an impactful player in the football game. The Jets win it going away. The Jets have it won by halftime. Super lock the Jets. Jets are not just free money, they're the freest money of the first 3 weeks I've seen. I am all in with the Jets this week.
Yeah, give me the Chiefs, -3 at home.
I mean,
there's some easy money.
This was a close game for me. I was only going to side with the Chiefs initially because it's just like they're at home. It's a 3-point spread. That's pretty standard. I'm just going to give me the Chiefs. But the freest money on the board in 3 weeks, give me the Chiefs.
Next game, San Diego at Indianapolis. Indy's been brutal, man. Although, I talked about being on like the wrong side of that Bengals game with the bad call and them not being able to have a chance to back cover. I was feeling really good about the Colts and their +6.5 until, you know, defensive scores happened. Yeah. All they needed to do was just like run the clock. Didn't happen. Anyway, this game is San Diego on the road, +2.5, -2.5 for Indy. 52 is the over under, the second biggest total of the week. People are split on this game, 46 and 54. And I don't really know what to make of it because San Diego, I know, can play on the road pretty well. Their defense has looked pretty good. No Dante Moncrief here, but I don't think their defense is good enough as a whole to be able to stop Andrew Luck from just spreading the ball around and just getting yards and yards and yards. Like, I don't think their pass rush is going to be able to disrupt him. I thought he held in pretty well against Denver for a guy who was just under attack for four quarters. I don't love it, but I'll take the Colts -2.5 at home.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of lean towards the Colts here, too. I don't think they're as bad as they've been the first 2 weeks. I will say, though, San Diego's secondary might be one of the most underrated units in the league right now. The only weak spot they had last season, Brandon Flowers has played very, very well, according to Pro Football Focus, over the first 2 weeks. Like, Jason Verrett
has been awesome.
Has been awesome, but is by their metrics, still been the worst corner on that team. Now, that doesn't mean he's been bad by any stretch of the imagination, but that's how good Casey Hayward and Brandon Flowers have been as well. I think that likely the Colts will win this game by a field goal, maybe 4 or 5 points. But
if they win by a field goal, they cover.
Exactly. That's why I'm taking the Colts. I don't think it's going to be a runaway in any sense.
No, neither do I.
And I probably wouldn't bet this game, but Vontae Davis was even practicing this week. He might play.
That's good news.
That would be a huge boon to that defense.
Antonio Gates may not play now either.
Yeah.
So
it's a lot of offensive players.
Yeah, Dexter McCluster can just bring his message to San Diego
now. LOL and drive?
Exactly.
It's a strong message.
Oh, of course it is. You shouldn't be LOLing and drive.
There's a couple LOLs.
LOLing.
That was like a raffle copter.
It's a good message for the kids out there.
Oh, it is.
That you don't want to text and drive. Tim, where are you leaning in this game?
My gut tells me the Colts, but I've been so cold on the Chargers the first 2 weeks that I'm going to take the Bolts +2.5, only because I keep underestimating them the first couple of weeks, and I was wrong about it. And I don't feel strongly about the game either way, sort of like you guys said. So, you know, assuming they have no superstars left to lose for the season other than Rivers, you know, they probably won't lose somebody this week, and I'll take San Diego.
Chicago at Dallas is the Sunday nighter. No Jay Cutler in this game. The Chef Hoyerdee, is playing quarterback.
Could that make them better?
Yeah, it could, because Jay Cutler was not playing well through two games. I think it's a parallel move, if anything.
Yeah.
Why don't you think so? Why do you hate Brian Hoyer?
You don't like Jay Cutler at all.
After all the mean things and deleted tweets you had about Jay Cutler on Monday night, I'm surprised to hear you say that.
I think Jay Cutler is the most frustrating quarterback to own in the NFL in fantasy, or if you were a Bears fan, be the most frustrating to hope for, because he has such incredible upside and potential, and yet just can't stop throwing the ball to the other team at such inopportune times. But he's better than Brian Hoyer or whoever the Bears roll out there in this game. I mean, I think
but you can't deny Brian Hoyer is probably one of the better backup quarterbacks in the league. Like, a lot of teams, if they lost their starting quarterback, it would be a massive drop off.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there, but he is still a drop off from Cutler. And so you said, is it a lateral move? Or are they better off? No, I think that's kind of silly to say. I think I would still say the Bears, if they had their druthers, would take Cutler as their starter in this game than whoever the heck their backup is. Come on.
It was like an in memoriam.
Yeah, just me having sinks with Smoke and Jay here. Well, someone's trying to get on the line, apparently. Tim, is that on our end or your end? Are you getting a call right now?
I am not.
Well, I guess someone's trying to call in to be interviewed.
Ooh, so popular.
Yeah, well, listen, this is not an open-line talk show. You can't have it. I like Chicago in this game. I'm worried about their defensive front being kind of beat up, and that Elliott and Morris and even Dunbar, to an extent, just might run it down their throats. But I think they play a very slow game in general, and 7 points is a lot for a team that's going to control the time of possession, that's settling for a lot of field goals in the red zone. It's just going to take, I don't know.
Don't you think at some point, though, that sort of, like, Dan Bailey, I know he very often does lead the league in field goals, but I think at some point when you're getting inside the 20 that much, normalization would dictate you're going to have to score a touchdown at some point. Like, I almost locked in Dallas -7 as my super lock. I just think Chicago This incarnation of Chicago is one of the two worst teams in football.
It might be. I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt Sunday night plus 7 at Dallas, though. I just don't think that Dallas is great.
Is Kyle Fuller going to play in this game? Probably not, right?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
So, Tim, which
now, I've been on the Bears are maybe the worst team in the NFL bandwagon for a while, and I'm not getting off it. You know, give me the boys, and I'll lay the 7.
Okay. Monday night game, Atlanta at Nollins. We have New Orleans favored by 3 at home, is the biggest over-under of the week at 53.5. I feel, remember when I threw it out there last week in the Giants-New Orleans game, that what if the over doesn't hit?
Yeah.
I was worried about that. I feel more confident about the over in this game.
Because the Saints are at home.
The Saints are at home. And I'm impressed Atlanta went into Oakland and won last week. It's just not a game. I mean,
Matt Ryan looks okay.
He does look okay, but it feels like anytime people pile on Matt Ryan, be like, oh, he's going to be okay. He's terrible.
Yeah.
So I really don't know what to make of this game. 63% of the money right now is on Atlanta. I think I like New Orleans minus 3.
Yeah, I think just New Orleans at home right now. I think these are two pretty evenly matched teams. I don't feel very strong about either defense. I will say the Saints, as much as I was arguing that the Giants were sort of just weird cluster unluckiness out of a bunch of points, the Saints' defense was...
They overachieved.
Non-atrocious.
Yeah, they overachieved.
Which for them is an improvement.
Yeah, they got some lucky breaks last week.
I'm just saying, if they can not be that far the worst defense in the league, their offense is good enough for them to win this game. And I think it will be this week.
Tim, which side you got?
I'll take the Falcons in a tight divisional game. Like you said, Matt Ryan's looked pretty decent this season. The Saints' defense, I think last week was more aberrational than week one was in terms of what we expect to see from that defense. The over-under is, 53.5. I think I would probably play the over, but you know, as I was saying, Texter, this is going to be the least watched football game in Monday Night Football history. So,
but it's the 10-year anniversary.
Nobody will watch it. Unless you're a Falcons or a Saints fan, you have big money on it. No one in the right mind is watching this football game on Monday night.
Is this the debate?
Yeah, but you understand that people have, like, second screens, right? Like, a lot of people have that now.
You can't possibly watch the debate and something else at the same time. Like, how could you pay attention?
Do you really need to pay attention to the debate? It's just going to be Trump yelling, like, oh, you're a bitch. That's what I assume the debate's going to be.
Is there a line on that? There's got to be a line on how many times he uses the word bitch, right?
Oh, yeah. He's probably said it like 0.5. Like, will he say it or won't he say it? I would say he says it.
I think he's going to say it.
He says it.
No.
He says it. You don't think he's going to say it?
No, he's not. Actually, he's going to do pretty well in the debate.
Well, that's because you're a Trump supporter. Of course you think he's not going to look like an idiot.
I am not a supporter.
He's a Hillary hater. He's not a Trump supporter.
Precisely.
Yeah, I know it's the same thing.
No, it's not.
Yes,
it
is.
It all
yes,
shakes
it
out to the same thing.
No, it's not.
If you had a vote, who would you be? Unless you're casting a blank ballot, which I feel like would be something you morally could not do.
Tim told me he's voting for Dr. Jill Stein because he thinks she's hot.
Oh, yeah. She and her running mate who are against prisons. Yeah, that's a reasonable vote. A woman who believes that Wi-Fi causes cancer. Yeah, there's a party I'm going to back.
I'm in rough shape, man, if that's true. What if they're right?
Well,
Wi-Fi can't be worse than wiener juice.
I don't know. Maybe wiener juice is the cure. At least I hope so.
Oh, the Mr. Burns approach?
Yeah.
Just so many terrible things trying to kill you.
So what do you think the ratings are going to be for the debate?
Since it's on every single network?
You said
combined,
100 million?
Probably over 100. Over 100 million, I would guess. Since it's on Fox, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, you add them all together, and Fox News, or you add them all together, I think it's probably going to be over 100 million.
I'll probably just watch Monday Night Football in HD and just put on, like, you can always get the debates in, like, even the Republican and Democratic ones. They just stream live on YouTube.
Yeah, that's true, but you want to be on Twitter during this debate, I think. I think Twitter will be like the best moment in Twitter history.
Yeah,
and
that's
going to
be a good Twitter.
I can see being on Twitter during this debate a great way to, like, lose a lot of followers and, like, make people upset. Like, I don't really care. I'm Canadian.
Oh, no, I'm not going to tweet.
What's that?
Just following what's going on Twitter would be enough reason to watch it live.
Yeah, but I can envision your, like, stupid, snarky tweets right now. Oh, Mrs. Clinton doesn't really believe that. Doesn't Donald's hair look lovely?
No, I'm sure I will say equally mean things.
No, you won't. You don't say equally mean things. You're like, oh, Trump can't help himself because he's stupid, but that makes him a good guy. Hillary is just vindictive, and I don't like her.
He wouldn't say Hillary.
She is a vindictive person.
Vindictive what?
individual.
Ah, I had the under.
Well, that's good. You won.
Yeah, I won.
All right. Enough of that.
Yeah.
I'm going to enjoy Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
I'm going to DVR and watch it later.
No, that's that. How can you PVR a football game?
Like, especially the only football game.
Because I
game.
Have nothing invested in it. I can just fast forward through the commercials.
I guess.
I don't know. I just... Once you see the score, it's going to be over. It's not like you're going to be able to avoid the score, especially if you're on Twitter the entire time.
I think Twitter will, no matter what I follow on Twitter, I think I'll be able to avoid it.
How?
I think a lot of people can watch them both. So yeah. That's an
you
issue.
You don't think that, I mean, I would guess your Twitter
no.
follower list is full of people that probably cover politics and cover football.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you make a fair point.
How is that not something you'd considered yet?
I actually hadn't considered it.
Fair enough.
I'm just thinking about it now.
So, yeah, maybe you'll have to create a list of people you want to follow.
I don't know how to do
that. Get TweetDeck going.
How do you not know how to do that? There's a button that says lists. And
you
add people. It's like making a playlist of your music in your phone. You don't know how to do that either?
A little picture of Liam Neeson
on the top of it. I don't know how to do that. I just push shuffle on my phone.
Likes lists.
He's probably just on repeat and he doesn't know how to get it off.
Ha 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 ha. Yeah, you're funny.
It's because it's true. It's not funny because it's true. If it was, it would be funny if it wasn't true, but it's just sad because it is true.
I know what sandwiches. I'm doing.
You don't. You just admitted you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, if I actually put the time in to learn, I'm sure I could figure it out.
Are you sure? You seem pretty confident
in that. Sure.
I'm not so confident. It took you over 3 years how to figure out how to screenshot something on your phone, despite the fact that Googling it didn't exist. You're just like, I can type questions into Google? I would have never thought of that.
It didn't occur to me to Google it.
You asked the butler the questions.
Yeah, you're still on Ask Jeeves, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I usually try to ask Siri questions now.
How does that work out?
Very frustrating.
Don't call Siri a bitch. She gets very upset,
I've heard.
She does. Like, how have you never done that?
Because I don't use that type of language.
Wasn't raised that way.
Cast.
Very I do curse during football games.
Cast.
I'm not cast.
You're cast.
Being least cast.
You're cast.
Not true.
Did you really win an award for being least cussed? Who gave that to you?
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Gary and Thorne, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, no problem.
Follow Gary on Twitter at Gary and Thorne and watch the rotation every day at 4 o'clock on the Fantasy Sports Network. I would also like to thank Tim Undergust!
Tim Undergust.
That's not my name.
I heard you won an award for most cussed, pal.
That's a lie.
Actually, you know what? A-Rap, go hand me the certificate that's in the thing. I think there's actually a certificate that he got and just like left here one day. He left at my house.
He was too embarrassed by the riches of it?
It might be that one. Let's see if we can find it. It might have got thrown out over the years. Just like he wanted. But most cussed.
Maybe he stole it back.
If there's anyone who is cussed, we know it's Tim. Tim, is there anyone you can really think of that isn't like that is more cussed than you?
Anybody
it doesn't matter if you think anyone's more cussed than you, because there is no one who's more cussed than you, because you are Tim Undergust!
Tim Undergust.
And that is your name. I'm Pat Mayo. I'll see you next time.
Go Jets.
Go Jets. I'll get you, Beer Baron.
No, you won't.
No, you won't. Yes, I will. No.
All right. See you, Tim. See ya.
All right. See you guys.
Goodbye. Okay,